Hello, and welcome to The Wealthy Wealthy Life, the show about becoming wealthy without sacrificing your healthy. Each week, I interview a counter-cultural thought leader to bring you a unique millionaire mindset. I'm Christina Wise, best-selling author, millionaire coach, and your personal guide to money, health, and happiness. Today, I tackle health wealth with Dr. Anna Kabeka. Anna is one of the foremost functional medicine doctors in the world and a major part of my personal life-saving team when I found myself on my deathbed in 2013. At a young age, Anna was told that she'd just have to live the rest of her days with symptoms like depression, fatigue, hormone imbalance, weight gain, and more, that there was no cure for her, that it was all in her head. Not taking no for an answer, Anna traveled the world in search for answers. What she found drastically changed her life, and now she hopes to share what she's learned to help others struggling with the out-of-the-norm health issues. Her studies have led her to discover how to reclaim vitality without prescription drugs, restore a satisfying sexual relationship, and achieve total health and wellness. Anna's work has been featured in publications like NBC and The Huffington Post, and she now lectures all over the world on optimal health. And is one of the most inspiring voices in the health community. And like I said, my relationship with her goes even deeper as she was a huge factor in saving my life. And since, she's become one of my closest friends. I hope you'll find some life-changing health takeaways in this interview. Enjoy. This is part one of a two-part interview. If you like this episode, be sure to come back next week for part two. All right, Miss Anna, I'm so excited to be having this conversation with you today for so many reasons, but thank you for taking your time. You're a busy woman. You're traveling all over the country. You're one of the leading functional medicine doctors in the world right now. So thank you for being here with me.
Oh my gosh, it's a pleasure always to be with you, Christina. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Well, this podcast interview has been a long time coming, and you know, just it was a matter of trying to coordinate both of our busy schedules. But you and I actually go a ways back. Many of my listeners know this, some don't, but you were actually a crucial part of my life-saving team in 2013 when I was, you know, deathly ill. And you, in fact, were able to diagnose the major thing that was just breaking my body down. And that was you asking me one question. I don't know if you remember this, but you and I were on the phone for hours, and you were the first doctor that spent more than 15 minutes with me. And this was after months and months of suffering. And so you said, we need a 3-hour conversation. We got on a Skype call, and you just asked me the most bizarre questions. You said, tell me about what you remember as a child. Tell me about, you know, some good memories and bad memories. And I'm thinking, what the hell is she asking all these questions for, you know? But I would answer them, and you're taking notes, and, you know, you've got your doctor's glasses on and your serious face and taking notes. But I'm thinking, in my back of my mind, I'm thinking, why is she even asking all these questions at the time? Because, you know, all I'd been really introduced to was more the conventional medicine way, where I'd go to doctor, get 15 minutes and get the next prescription. Mm-hmm. But then finally, you know, you were so intent on trying to get to the bottom of what was, you know, what was killing me, basically. And the one question you finally asked after all those bizarre questions, going back to like in vitro, but you asked me, you said, what have you had, like any dental work in the recent few months or something of that nature? And I said, well, funny you should ask that. But a couple months ago, I got all my amalgams taken out and a few root canals and a ton of dental work. And you kind of went like this with your chin and said, you know what? I think you have mercury poisoning. So that was sort of the beginning of what then went, you know, into a lot of different diagnoses. And you said, I think you have adrenal fatigue. And I think that your hormones are completely whacked by all these things. We need to do this, all these tests, heavy metal tests, hormone tests. I think your nutrients are off because you've been a vegetarian. And you just did these huge panels and all that work came back and basically said, you're a total mess and let's get to work. But anyway.
Oh, I never said you're a total mess.
So again, just the introduction. You were the one that introduced me to sort of this functional medicine, integrative medicine approach. You actually gave me the diagnosis that saved my life and actually introduced me to this world, this different world of wellness. And, you know, you're just one of those exceptional doctors out there that are making the world a better place and giving information that, you know, you just don't find on, you know, in the conventional medicine protocol.
Thank you. Thank you. And I believe me, every one of those bizarre questions had a reason.
They do. I know. They do. But it's just your commitment to help people, I don't know, really uncover what's underneath more than just medicine. So anyway, but that's a little bit about you and my beginning. Go ahead.
I think it's really important to say that in healing our physical body, there are aspects that are in our control and aren't in our control or that have influenced us, let's say, that we're not aware of. And kind of teasing that out, getting through the emotional body, the, you know, our mental body, our spiritual body, you know, our soul body, hitting those aspects come together in real, true health, right? When you see that radiance, that glowing radiance, like you exude that now. It's a connection of all those pieces. It's not just physical. It's not only what you eat, right? I want to emphasize, it's like 15% of the picture, but there's a whole lot more to that healing, that health.
Yeah. And I know that's where I think you're trying to uncover. And you were one of the first ones as well that said, I also think there's some PTSD wrapped in here. I mean, you're a medical doctor, like you know, like how many doctors would go into that side? And you told me, I mean, I'll never forget. You said you're going through a really rough patch right now. There's a lot going on. I think there's PTSD here and that's why you're experiencing this. There's the physical because, you know, your body, your organs are shutting down, your brain's shutting down. But so you have the psychological, there's the physical things that are pretty bad right now, like your whole body's pretty much whacked. But your advice to me, you said, no matter how bad you feel, we can get you through this, you know, one step at a time. And you told me, you said, Christina, this is going to be a spiritual journey for you. This healing journey is a spiritual journey. And I put this in my first book. In fact, I referenced you and referenced your comment in my first book was, you know, you're the caterpillar right now. You're kind of in the cocoon. You're fighting. There's a lot that's happening and you don't realize it. You're just in the struggle, but there's a butterfly that, you know, is on the other side of this. And, you know, I will never forget you telling me that because I was in such a bad place and from all those different levels. And you're just like, nope, you're going to make this through this. We're going to save your life. But this is your spiritual journey. I can do what I can do on the medical side of the thing, but you've got to do the work on your side of the thing. And, you know, and that, again, like that's so outside the scope of, let's say, traditional medicine.
Well, and the fact is, the rarity is to have someone receive that information and say, okay, no, I just want a pill or just cut it out. Or, you know what I mean? There's that, but more of our community and educated community too, as well as our lay community. I mean, we are recognizing that we have some control in that healing. And in fact is we have 99.999% of that control and all of that control in that healing. So we can start laying those stones for ourselves to get better. And it does require work. Unfortunately, not many people are willing to put in that work, but it's worth it. I just want to encourage everyone because this is like what Christina went through, what I've been through. It's a hard journey. Sometime I wish I could say it's easy, but it's a hard journey. And just stay with it because we'll, you know, you will come through it. You will come through it. Keep your eyes up and you'll come through it.
Yeah. And it was your encouraging words that made so much the difference too. Cause I felt like I wasn't going to come through it. Like I was so sick on so many levels that I thought I'm stuck here forever. I'm dying. There's no way out of this. And you're like, no, just you will make it through. You will make it through. You will make it through. And you were just like that voice of positivity and inspiration. And it's like, she told me I can do it. Just, I can do it another day, you know? So anyway, I want to thank you, you know, publicly, and you're such a gift. So share a little bit more about you. What's your background? What inspired you to get into medicine? I think you started more on the traditional side and studied, you know, what gynecology, and that was sort of your field. And, you know, you are where you are now. So give us a little bit of the Anna journey, the Dr. Anna journey.
Yeah, well, I always say, you know, when I was little, I wanted to become a doctor, a ballerina, and a nun, and I became a doctor by default. So I started very early, but But I did. I trained. I'm always very strong advocate for women's health and seeing the discrepancies. I mean, way back to the early 80s when I really started to dig into, you know, volunteering at a hospital when I was 13 years old, et cetera, and just kind of seeing discrepancies between women's and men's healthcare, especially through my mom's own journey with diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And so that took me to be, you know, a strong advocate for women. I trained in gynecology and obstetrics at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a fabulous education. And then as a National Health Service Corps scholar, I had been blessed with a scholarship. So I ended up serving that out in Southeast Georgia, a small shipping village called McIntosh. And so there I was the end all be all for many people. Like, well, sometimes the first doctor they've seen, some clients took a boat to get to me. So believe me, this is Southeast Georgia. And I had to come up with very creative, holistic ways to help these, you know, salt of the earth people honestly get better, because number one, money for expensive medications and surgeries was simply not an option for many of them. And so that started the journey, but also the whole journey in sexual health and working with clients who have had issues with sexual health and sexual function. And that started, I tell you, the first week I opened my practice, and that's a funny story in and of itself. But, you know, really made me dig deep and say, well, what can I offer a woman, you know, in their 60s, in the menopause, postmenopause, who's having libido issues and vaginal dryness issues, and how can I get that better that makes a difference in her life? And at that point, I had nothing in my doctor's bag to help me. So I started researching, and that eventually led me into, you know, studying bioidentical hormones and hormone management and functional medicine and just learning and creating my own formulas and solutions, really solutions for women and the men who love them to get better, to address the underlying issues that are going to make the biggest bang for your buck, right? That's going to make the difference. Because what happens now is people get an ache or a pain or, you know, or indigestion or both, because those two issues are the things that create the two number one over-the-counter medications. That's ibuprofen and antacids, right? Which are caustic to your body. I mean, absolutely detrimental. So if we look at the, you know, we can treat that, and that's just going to hamper, you know, dampen some symptoms that are eventually still going to lead you to the emergency room with a much more severe issue versus addressing the underlying issue. And the same is true, heartbreakingly true, for women. Early on, young kids are put on birth control pills because they have a painful period. I mean, that is not addressing the underlying issues. When we address it, it's surprising what results we get. And this is coming from a traditionally trained gynecologist who I have done tons of gynecologic surgeries, hysterectomies, removing ovaries, bladder procedures, slings, etc. When I learned and started implementing these functional techniques, getting deeper and deeper to the underlying issues, I didn't have to operate anymore. Darn, I will say.
Yeah, those operations, you know, that's good profit built into those things, aren't there? Isn't there?
It's quick results, right? Okay, well, that was your symptom. Symptom's gone. Now who do you go to for the next symptom that comes up? You know, I mean, and I joke and I say, you know, initially it starts with like coming in with pain, especially in the, when your hormones are starting to waver in your mid 30s, as women, we can get these estrogen dominant symptoms. Really, it's progesterone insufficiency symptoms. So by addressing and improving the progesterone estrogen balance, we can really just nip that in the bud. But what happens now is we go in with these imbalances, we get birth control pills to kind of shut that down, and we're having PMS symptoms, we get Prozac or something similar to shut those symptoms down. And then we still come back to our doctor and say, well, I'm still having issues with bleeding or cramping. And so we take out your uterus. And if you're over 35, we may just take out your ovaries as well. Not a good idea. But, and then, you know, those symptoms are gone. And so then you come back, and what's next? The divorce attorney and the psychiatrist. I mean, seriously, that's where symptom care leads you. Now, look, I'm a doctor. All I wanted to do was improve your quality of life with what I had in my doctor's bag. But I recognize that, you know, I needed a lot more in my doctor's bag, and I do not discriminate on healing modalities, just like I don't discriminate on spiritual, you know, spiritual discernment techniques. I mean, we have to discern for ourselves, right? I don't discriminate against healing modalities. So Oriental medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, Eastern, Western, top, you know, ivory tower medicine, all of it, going to take what really works with the hands and skills that I have for me and my clients. And that may be different than another amazing healer. But again, it's that's what creates the art of medicine, because ultimately each individual is different. And we do have to treat each other that way. So an advocate for compounding hormones and really tailoring your regimen.
So you make it sound like so obvious, but Well, I think it's becoming a little bit more so that functional medicine, integrative medicine. In fact, I was talking to a woman yesterday and she said, yeah, you know, I introduced my friend of mine to a naturopath. And, you know, so I'm hearing some of the terminology, functional, integrative, naturopath, more and more regularly, like more mainstream. So some of these conversations are becoming more mainstream. But girl, you were doing this. You're a true pioneer. And you were really researching the different modalities and functional medicine when there really wasn't a lot out there other than just, you know, what you get out of med school. So like, what was inside of you that really inspired you to look, and what did you find? And then, and I think if, I don't know if I can say this publicly, but you even told me a story privately where, you know, some authorities came and tried to shut you down and kick you out of practice because you weren't following just the sort of orthodox, traditional, conventional medicine protocol. And you were including some of these compounding, you know, practices and Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine and these different things into helping women get to the source of the problem. And they were having these amazing results. They were getting pregnant after not being able to getting pregnant. They were getting better, getting their sexual health better, but some of the authorities were trying to come in and shut you down. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny because I just have to laugh at you because here you are getting to the underlying issues as well, right? A good investigator. But it did bring me back. I mean, I started on this journey in 1999 where, you know, I've always been kind of like, let's practice medicine that makes sense. And I think because I came from an immigrant family, very, you know, holistic food as, you know, food as medicine type family. If you're feeling sick, eat this, you know, I mean, if you're, you know, you've got to do this, or, you know, I mean, just kind of that inherent traditional wisdom that was brought into my life, or, you know, part of my life. And so I had that kind of mind, that frame of thinking, and also a healthy, critical thinking that always ask, well, why, you know, well, why is it that way? You know, not just taking it for granted. Well, that's the way it is. Well, why, you know, and figuring that out. And I was, and kind of, you know, when we look back, what steps did we lead? Well, I, between medical school and my, when I graduated college, I did research. I was in exercise physiology research where I ended up working for the United States Navy. And as part of my early career in research, scientific, and publishing, and all those things that I did way back then. So I was in that field of investigation. And I think that's part of it, just that fascination in research, really getting to the bottom. And then how can we do it better? What little tweaks can we do to our body or physiology to have better performance, or, you know, I mean, just that kind of better quality of life all the way around. But I figured out, I mean, underlying biology is looking at organic acid testing. So when I first was introduced to functional medicine testing, and that there were some rogue labs that were performing this based on Krebs cycle, I was like, wow, yay, I want to know this stuff. And I dug in and created my own panel because, of course, I want things in a specific way, in a specific order. And I started doing that type of testing, organic acid testing. I mean, when it shows up in our regular blood count, listen, y'all, if you've been looking at blood test results and that's been told you're normal and you're happy with that, go deeper, because that is, by the time it shows up in your regular blood work, you are so far gone. I am telling you, it is hard to make that turnaround. It's just like earlier course correction, the better, right? That makes sense. We do that with our kids, right? Let's correct them now before they become a teenager. So that's kind of what we have to do with our blood work. So I was super excited. And very interestingly, so typically one organization, Blue Cross Blue Shield, would approve this testing. We would call for pre-approval. They'd be approved. And it's like, awesome, because I have a patient with cirrhosis. I have a patient with infertility. I have a patient with this that, you know, no one's figured out. Let's do this testing. And they would be approved and covered. And so I was like, great, let's do it. And then the insurance company said, well, why are you doing this testing? I'm like, well, for the reasons that you approved it. And that led to, I was a big fish in a small pond, so to speak. No one in the whole, I don't even think in very few places in Georgia was anyone doing this type of laboratory analysis for their patients. And so, but it helped me keep patients out of surgery and out of off medications and really tailored nutritional regimens, et cetera, and help the patient understand that it wasn't in their head, something was off. And that's really powerful. To me, that's the most powerful piece. And so I was doing this testing, and lo and behold, Blue Cross Blue Shield sent federal investigators to the door of my patient saying, did she do this test on you? Did she actually do this test? Did you see the results of this test? Like trying to imply some fraudulent behavior. And one woman on the door of death from cirrhosis was like, you know, had called me up. She goes, I don't know what's happening, but the federal investigators or these investigators were at my door. I'm like, are you kidding me? We live on a small island. And so that was really, it blew my mind. The next thing was the medical board put in an investigation. So Blue Cross Blue Shield turned out, reported me to a medical board. That is so unethical, Christina. It is beyond unethical. When we talk about mafiosa medicine, this is it firsthand. And so they reported me to the medical board. So here's my charts. Here's my reasons. I documented things really, really well. Everything was cleared and dismissed, et cetera. But Blue Cross Blue Shield still took back every single dollar. Plus they kept, you know, because I was a member, I was a participating provider with Blue Cross. They took back more than the test ever cost plus. So, I mean, it just like was that straw that broke the camel's back, really. And it to know that that can happen and that can influence physicians like myself who are really just in the dirt doing good for their clients, ground up work, is just devastating. Because if it happened to me, it happened to hundreds more. And so, you know, all that we had filed, and I chose to fight, although my attorneys were saying, you know, it's just going to cost you more to fight than not to fight. But after it cost me twice what the lab charges, I mean, it was just ridiculous. I withdrew the fight and withdrew everything from Blue Cross Blue Shield, just stopped taking insurances, et cetera. And so that was part of that mafiosa medicine experience. And it's true. It really does happen. But it did make me really passionate about getting word out to individuals and to individuals themselves to take control of their health and to get the numbers and help physicians also do this practice, but do it safely. Now there are attorneys that fight back to Blue Cross Blue Shield and other United and all the big ones, et cetera, successfully. So they don't do that to other physicians. But at that time, you know, I was one of the first on the assault list.
Well, and eventually it really did push you out of private practice. Like you just couldn't, I mean, you couldn't ethically practice the way you were more or less being forced to, and you couldn't afford to fight the fight, and people couldn't really afford medicine without insurance. And so you had to be creative, but you know, how unfortunate, and a lot of the mindset too. And I think that's part of why I love interviewing doctors on my podcast and functional medicine doctors, obviously, is the philosophy is different. So share a little bit, like the different philosophy of, and I, you know, you're alluding to it. I mean, it's coming through, but of the more traditional, what you're taught in med school compared to what you believe now. And like, if you line these up to, you know, next to one another, like where do they conflict?
That's a great question. And, you know, when I contemplate the comparison pros and cons, I really look at it as for me, it's all been very necessary part of my education, my journey, because I know I can do now with my recommendations and my programs what I used to do with a knife and a prescription pad, right? And even better, and even better. And so I think that a lot of what we do in, especially in the surgical specialties, is that, you know, end result, like let's just get it out and treat the symptom type care versus, and that's what a lot of our, I mean, majority of our prescription medications, the majority of our surgeries are, you know, symptom-based care. Honestly, it's to alleviate a symptom versus addressing the cause of the symptom. So in functional medicine, we go beyond what the symptom is. We look to address the underlying cause of the symptom. And there's, again, in America, we're a new country. We don't have the thousands of years of traditional medicine to refer to or to have learned from, so to speak. But an ancient Oriental philosophy quote just comes to my mind, and it says something like this. I don't remember it exactly, but a good physician will treat disease, but a great physician will prevent it, right? That's the difference. That's the difference. All of it, I think, an important part of education and a learning process, and it will help us on our route, on our path, but we have to keep asking those questions.
There, and how much in, say, the functional or more ancient philosophy is that we have a part of this, I, the individual, meaning the doctor's not the God, the doctor doesn't have the answer, but it's a relationship. Yeah. And, you know, but I think there really is this sort of cultural belief that we go to the doctor to get fixed without this understanding that, no, our bodies are designed to heal. Yes. When we give it what it needs, we have the knowledge, you know, we have the right healers maybe we work with, but we are in charge of so much of the healing, but that's not in like the background.
Yeah, I would say it's over 90% of the reality is that, you know, and I only say 90% because I'm 10% as the doctor, I want to claim some part of the picture, you know, I want to be part of it in a little way, but 90% is in your control. 90% of it is absolutely in the individual's control. And that is through therapeutic lifestyle changes. That is through therapeutic lifestyle changes. 90%. I have seen clients reverse a diagnosis of cancer, y'all. And it's not, you know, there's no magic to it. It is just discipline and hard work and doing the next right step. And, but even so, women who've been on the verge of hysterectomy, I'll never forget a person told by three doctors she needed a hysterectomy for her endometriosis came to me, and in 3 months she was pregnant. I mean, that's the difference. And that's what she wanted. She was like, I can't have a hysterectomy. I know I want another baby. And that's a gift. That's a gift. That's a miracle. That's a modern day miracle. And I totally believe in that. And that's just from following the next right step. You have the power to heal your body when we get to these underlying changes. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying that, you know, I mean, Once you get the hang of it and adapt the lifestyle and have the right support group and the right frame of mind, it becomes easy and it becomes so worth it. You start seeing life through, you know, different lenses.
You do. Well, and that's one thing, like when you had a long list of diagnoses for me that, you know, of course, I don't do anything small. Everything I do in my life is first, you know, is overachiever. So I was overachiever sick too, like just check every single box. But you said, Christina, you're going to have to radically change your lifestyle. Like this is it's a long-term solution and it's, you know, we're going to take it step by step. But I mean, we have to change your diet. We have to change your stress. We're going to have to do some stuff with your hormones. You're going to need to go get therapy. I mean, you just gave really like looked at all these things and say, now it's just not going to happen overnight. This is a spiritual healing journey, but it does require work. It's not necessarily going to be easy.
Yeah. And I think just to emphasize that a big part of that was getting in alignment with your true purpose, right? Getting in alignment with what you love, and you love impacting people in a positive way and healing them and seeing that transformation, seeing people live a good life, right? I mean, that is part of who you are, and just getting in alignment with what, you know, when we aren't living our truth, you know, it's hard to completely recover. Yeah, no,
I agree with that
too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's such an important part of it. Again, that's not talked about when you're talking medicine. All right, let's switch gears a little bit here. I mean, Anna, you are such a wealth of information when it comes to wellness, health, medicine. I mean, we could go down any topic and you can teach it, speak it, but there's really, you know, I think your true passion and real expertise is women's health, has a lot to do with hormones, men's hormones too. But hormones is one of those things that I don't think most people understand. I know I didn't understand anything about hormones. I didn't think about them until it was brought to my attention that they were completely whacked. And I didn't realize sort of the cascade effects of your hormones being off. And like you said, you go to the doctor, they give you the pill, they try to do something, but it's very superficial. So I'd love our time together today to really let the listeners, let's give them a little education on what the hell hormones are. And I try to simplify things as a layman because I don't have your doctor brain and, you know, your ability to do what you do. But the way I've simplified hormones is I think about them and I try to think of metaphors, for example. So if I am to give you instructions, we're communicating, and let's say you have a very important job to do and I need to communicate that to you, then it's the communication from me to you for you to go do a job. And how good I am at communicating and how good you are at receiving, there's these two parts to make sure that end result that needs to happen gets done effectively. So I think of hormones like that. They're these communication body, you know, there's these communicators Absolutely. That talk between each other. And, you know, there's these chemical signals that are the hormones that go through that are like the words to convey what I'm saying to what you're listening to produce, to accomplish something there. So that's what I think is these little guys that are talking between cells and giving these communication signals that are these chemical signals through the hormones. So that might seem silly. That's how I simplify it. So that's the way I kind of explain the job of hormones. But how do you explain what the hell a hormone is as a doctor?
Yeah, no, I think the best way is to get that basic understanding, because even us physicians, I mean, these are pretty obscure concepts. I mean, really, do we really know what a hormone is? Ultimately, we know the chemical structure, but there's a lot more to it, right? Hormones are energetic molecules, and we have yet begun to understand them or really be able to measure them in any finite kind of way, in any exact kind of way. So the way you said it is exactly that. Like, how are we communicating? And hormones are communication messengers, and they will communicate from me to you and then from you to someone else, and they'll transform into the next level of communication. You know, another message gets sent, and that's exactly how it comes. I think it's good to understand when we're talking, there are many different, I mean, there are different, we have steroid hormones, we have our peptide hormones, we have different hormones in our body. But when we're talking as a gynecologist, predominantly I talk about my favorite sex steroids, my sex hormones, and these come from cholesterol. So all our sex steroids or sex hormones come from cholesterol. And then my other favorite peptide hormone is oxytocin. And that's another beautiful, powerful, really one of the most powerful and important hormones in our body. So our sex hormones, which we typically talk about, testosterone, well, let's start at the top. We get cholesterol, which will get converted into making progesterone and pregnenolone. And so from progesterone, so progesterone and pregnenolone are really our mother hormones. And these have been shown to improve our brain, our bone, be very important for overall health, well-being, also important for our neurotransmitter GABA. So especially progesterone. And so that helps with our calm, our awe. And so they're considered the mother hormones, really big. And from there, we'll go down and make some other of the sex steroids, particularly DHEA and cortisol. So two kind of separate tracks to get to either of them. You'll go one down a track for DHEA, down another track for cortisol. But when we are high stress, this is really important to understand, when we're high stress, it's like everything's going to cortisol. So progesterone and pregnenolone are being shunted to cortisol, which makes sense evolutionarily. Is that a word? Evolutionarily? And it because when you are having to react to crisis situation, it is not the time to reproduce, right? We're not going to have those reproductive hormones. So hence no sex drive and infertility increases. So hormones get shunted to cortisol. And then if there's balance in your body, you'll naturally make healthy DHEA, predominantly made in the adrenal glands, but also in the testes in men and ovaries in women. And then from there, also DHEA will further down the line convert to testosterone and estrogen, as well as be produced in our gonads as, you know, on their own as well. So it's important to keep these hormones in balance, because they do communicate with each other. And one will be like, hey, you know, the bully in the playground, and there's, you know, it's got all the attention and all the authority and is creating havoc in our body. And, but otherwise when things are calm and tame, we've got a really good level of balance in our hormones. So to emphasize that cholesterol is not the bad guy. And then to tie that back into mafiosa medicine for a minute, as I diverge a little bit, is that, you know, it's very interesting when you go to your insurance company doc systems, for example, they will penalize a doctor who does not give a prescription statin medication to someone with a total cholesterol of over 200, you know, and they won't add, apparently they will not allow you to do the testing to ask why is that cortisol above, I mean, that cholesterol above 200, right? Because heavy metals could be the reason the cholesterol is above 200 to protect the brain. So very fascinating that way. Or hypothyroid could be another issue that could cause cholesterol, just to name a few. But instead, the powers that be in, you know, insurance companies, health insurance, or sick, you know, really sick insurance companies, are trying to dictate clinical care models, and good physicians are getting penalized for that. Y'all got to stand up against this. So, and it's, you know, it goes from the high level of the, you know, the insurance companies. We got to find a better way, Christina.
We're doing that. That's the purpose of getting the word out like we're doing. And I know a lot of my listeners have been introduced to functional medicine as a result of this podcast and have made big changes. So that's absolutely what we're doing here. So let's talk about that. Let's just dissect this down a little bit. And so go to the doctor, have cholesterol over 200, you go on a statin, it shuts down your cholesterol. What's the cascade now of what that's doing to our body now that we're lowering our cholesterol by taking a pill, basically?
Yeah, several things. Because, you know, what statins are doing are working on different coenzymes. So what happens is statins will actually deplete your body of a very important coenzyme that's need to make ATP energy, and that's called CoQ10. So that's how these, you know, many of these statin medications work. And if it's going to deplete your body from CoQ10, until recently, I think, hopefully, you know, I mean, I've, when you understand the mechanism of action, I'm a big mechanism of action kind of person, whether it's drugs, hormones, et cetera, what is this happening down the line? So I think recently doctors started recommending CoQ10 when they're taking a statin drug. I mean, I've known about this research for over a decade. And cardiologists very few have really integrated functional medicine into their cardiology practice, but it's so important. It goes hand in hand. So I would say, first of all, if you're on a statin medication, ask the question, why is your cholesterol up? It may have nothing to do with your diet. If you're being prescribe a statin, you choose to take it, recognize that you definitely want to get on CoQ10 and then get your blood level checked to see if you're on enough CoQ10. You can do that. That's part of organic acid testing. And the other thing is, or functional medicine testing. So the other aspect is that cholesterol being one of the mother hormones for our reproductive hormones, a study out of Italy looked at clients on statin drugs, men on statin drugs, over 3,000, and found that it significantly reduced their testosterone, causing hypogonadism. So, you know, I mean, that's an act, you know, then what's the answer? It is not taking testosterone injections, right? Let's get to the underlying. We can stop treating the cascade of symptoms. You know, if A is affecting, causing B to affect C, we need to get to the bottom of it and stop treating the symptoms. But I see that happen in even some of the better clinics. We just have to get to the underlying reason. It starts to make sense, doesn't it, Christina?
Oh, it does. It makes more and more sense as, you know, you just get deeper into the journey and start to understand a little bit more and how these things work and take responsibility for our own health and asking the question, why? Why is my cholesterol high? Why is this not working right? And there's not usually an immediate answer either. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't, but it's healing is a journey, getting to the bottom of this.
As I said at the top of the episode, this has been part one of a two-part interview. Please come back next week for part two. This was one more millionaire strategy that will make you wealthy while keeping you healthy. Before I leave, remember that if you want to get it all together, then make sure to sign up for a free online training session at howto.money. You will learn my signature formula for transforming your life from debt to multi-millionaire. It's already helped thousands of others, and it can help you too. And it's the only money-making system that makes your health your number one asset. So if you're curious how it all works, visit howto.money and sign up today. Remember, it's free, so why not invest some time in learning how to money? Again, that's howto.money, howto.money. As always, be sure to subscribe to this podcast to make sure that you catch next week's Millionaire Strategy. Signing off, this is Christina Wise, your personal guide to having it all. Here's to living a wealthy, wealthy life. I'll see you next time.